Hello and welcome into another episode of Locked On Wolves. Today on the show, recapping a fun weekend wins over the Suns and the Cavaliers this weekend at Target Center. I want to talk about the key takeaways from those two wins and also look ahead to Wolves, Jazz, and Matinee today, MLK Day, against some old friends of the Utah Jazz at Target Center. We're going to break it all down here today on the show. Welcome in. You are Locked On Wolves.
You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Beacon. I'm the host of Locked On Wolves. Today's episode is brought to you by Prize Picks. First-time users can receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100 with the promo code Locked On. That's prizepicks.com, promo code Locked On. Happy Monday, everybody. Happy Martin Luther King Jr. Day today, and happy Timberwolves game day. It's a big day today. Timberwolves play at 3 p.m., a matinee. So we'll get you started off on this MLK Day with a look at Friday and Saturday's wins and a look ahead at the Jazz game here today. First of all, though, a big thank you for making Locked On Wolves your first listen every day. Locked On Wolves is free and available everywhere, including YouTube, as well as all of your favorite audio platforms, wherever you like to listen to podcasts. You can find this show. You can also watch on the Roku or Amazon Fire TV app, the Locked On Sports Minnesota app. You can find all of our shows on there, as well as all the other Locked On Minnesota shows. You can follow this show on Twitter as well, at Locked On T-Wolves and at B Beacon with two B's, two E's, C-K-E-N. All right, let's start by quickly going over some key takeaways from Friday and Saturday's wins. So there were two very different wins, right? We didn't do post-game podcasts after either of them, being that it was the weekend, but we did the live postcast. So hopefully you went back and listened to, actually, if you're listening right now, the audio on any audio platform, the last two episodes were the live postcasts I did with Marnie Gellner of Bally Sports North, both Friday and Saturday. So we gave some kind of quick hitting thoughts. Otherwise, I'm going to give you my key takeaways, kind of overarching from the weekend here today, with a little bit of like specific focus on each game. But like I said, there were very different wins, right? I mean, Friday was the Timberwolves were ahead for, you know, a decent chunk of the game. And then the Wolves let the Suns hang around. Obviously, a banged up Suns team, but still a good team, a well-coached team. And the Wolves let the Suns hang around and made this thing interesting at the end. Saturday was a close game that the Wolves led early, fell behind double figures in both the second and third quarter. And it kept kind of feeling like this full strength Cavs team that was fourth in the East coming in had been one of the best, probably, I don't know, six teams in the league all season. And again, at full strength, I mean, Donovan Mitchell was a little under the weather. He's questionable with an illness, but he played. You know, neither he or Jared Allen played the last time the Wolves played the Cavs. Of course, Darius Garland was in there. And yet the Wolves kept coming and kept coming and kept coming, and eventually they just completely overpowered the Cavaliers in the fourth quarter. Two very different wins, equally important for the Wolves. And now they're back to 500. Now the Timberwolves are tied for sixth place in the Western Conference in terms of the standings. Tiebreaker, I think they're technically seventh due to head-to-head records. Whatever, it doesn't really matter because we're only halfway through the season. But at any rate, the Timberwolves are right in the thick of things in the Western Conference. They're back at 500. They've won six of seven. They're undefeated at home in the month of January. There's a lot of things going positively for the Wolves. And of course, Monday is a winnable game against the Jazz team. They're now ahead of in the Western Conference standings on a matinee, which we'll get to that later. But it feels like a matinee is a recipe for a really sloppy game and probably a blowout in one direction or the other. That's just that's completely anecdotal. It's just what it always feels like with a matinee. So hopefully it's a blowout in the right direction, if it's a blowout at all. But we'll talk about that game later. The takeaways from the weekend are almost entirely related to consistency and how good this team can be if they can find some. And then also the bench, which I thought was really, really good this weekend. So let's talk about all that. First, related to Friday. The Timberwolves started actually both games, both Friday and Saturday, aggressive offensively. They were getting into the paint. They were, you know, it was essentially pass drive or pass kick out jumper, like consistent ball movement, consistent penetration, making the defense move their feet, making the defense not just simply defend one action, but to react and then guard a second or third action within the half court set. The Wolves have not done that consistently this year. And they did that on both Friday and Saturday, especially early in both of those games. On Friday against the Suns, it felt like it was more kind of short jumpers from Ant, Prince, D'Lo. They weren't really getting all the way to the rim. They weren't drawing a lot of fouls at all, really, in either game. but they were getting kind of like 6, 8, 10 foot jumpers, which is weird. It's not like, you know, you don't draw up the offense to do that, but they were making them. Kyle Anderson's good from that range anyway. D'Lo has a little bit of a floater game. You know, Anthony Edwards has gotten better kind of in that short mid range. Prince is very good from that area, but it just felt like they were just getting into the paint and getting close enough to the rim to impact, to generate efficient offense in that way. And that was both games, but Friday especially, that's how they were scoring. On Saturday, the Wolves had a lead early in the game, and it was kind of the same deal. It was ball movement, but it was a little bit more driving kick. They made some threes. They got all the way to the rim a few times. But the first quarter offense of both games really set a tone for both games. And even though it wasn't smooth sailing by any means for either of those games from that point forward, I thought it was a really important way to start the game, is that fast start. I mean, and of course, we've seen that, right? The Wolves got off to, what, a 10-0 lead in Detroit on Wednesday and ended up losing to a terrible Pistons team. So certainly you got to play beyond that good start, but it was the right foot to get off on, right? On Saturday, the Timberwolves scored 36, or excuse me, Friday against Phoenix, the Wolves scored 36 points in the paint in the first half, and they shot over 56% from the field in the first half of that game. Torian Prince was huge. The Wolves defended without fouling in that game. But offensively, it was getting into the paint and scoring against a shorthanded Suns team, but one that had DeAndre Ayton at their disposal. He played, he was in the game. He was so preoccupied with Rudy Gobert, though, that the Wolves were able to score a bunch in the paint themselves. And that was a really good start to that game. The Wolves led by 15 at halftime against Phoenix on Friday, and then got really sloppy in the third quarter. The third quarter woes kind of reared their ugly head. That same thing happened Saturday for the Wolves against Cleveland. Now, against Cleveland, there was a second quarter lull as well. The Wolves had 6 turnovers and 7 possessions. Gobert goes down with the groin injury and ends up only playing 13 minutes on Saturday. But the second quarter sloppiness was not great. I think it was a 5-point deficit at halftime. But in both games, the Wolves got, both games, the Wolves had a rough third quarter. Against Phoenix, the Wolves didn't fall behind. They still had a lead, and they ended up actually extending their lead by a bucket. They won the third quarter by 2 points, but it was a rough start to the third quarter. It was just a very sloppy third quarter for Minnesota on Friday. Saturday, the Cavs actually led by 14 points at one point in the third quarter. And the Wolves pushed right back and had a really impressive kind of close to the third quarter that then led into the fourth. Against Phoenix on Friday, the Wolves were up by 23 points in the third quarter, but then the lead got all the way down to 12, and then they built it back up over 20, and then, of course, it got close again in the fourth quarter. But that was more a game of the Wolves getting up and it getting closer. Saturday was more the Wolves getting down by, 10, 12, 14 points, and then pushing back and getting closer in the game. And ultimately on Saturday, it kind of culminated in this bench mob from the Wolves, this Jalen Noel, Luka Garza, obviously Naz Reid, who was at that point playing with the starters due to the Gobert injury. All those guys played extremely well. And I want to spend a little more time on the Wolves bench here in a minute. But that was the impressive close to Saturday's game. Friday, there was no impressive close. It was just kind of a slog to get to the finish line. It was like, okay, can we survive? Can we make it there? And eventually they did, and they won that game against Phoenix. But the close was just, you don't leave that game feeling great, right? Like, yeah, you were up 20 plus for much of the game and you beat a team that was near you in the standings, but you look up and you gave up 41 points to Phoenix in the fourth quarter and you were never able to fully put them away on the front end of a back-to-back. And you're thinking on Friday night, is that going to come back and make the Wolves pay on Saturday? Is the Wolves' kind of lack of care to close out Phoenix late in the fourth quarter? A Phoenix team with, no Devin Booker, no Chris Paul, right? I mean, they had Ayton, obviously. They had Bridges, but like, this was a team that the Wolves should have put away much easier than they were able to. And then on Saturday, the Wolves played much better. It was essentially a wire-to-wire strong performance for Minnesota with some sloppy moments in the middle, getting down double figures, yes. But the close was phenomenal on Saturday. And I want to talk a little bit about that, but I really want to focus on the Wolves bench and what I like that they've done defensively over the weekend. So we're going to do all that here next, and then we'll close the show with that Wolves Jazz preview. Today's episode of Locked On Wolves is brought to us by our title sponsors over at Prize Picks. On Monday afternoon, between the Wolves Jazz game, I have no idea if Rudy Gobert is going to play at this point, but I would say I'd take Anthony Edwards over on points. I don't know that the Jazz are going to have their perimeter defenders to check Anthony Edwards. The Jazz are a little banged up too. I think Ant is kind of like in, hey, I'm going to prove to everybody I'm an all-star mode right now. I think Ant's going to have a big game Monday. So I'd take his over, whatever that point total is over at Prize Picks. If you're not familiar with Prize Picks, I'll tell you how it works. You just pick 2 to 6 players, and if they'll score more or less than their Prize Picks projection, they have multiple categories, points, assists, rebounds, field goals made, three-pointers made, steals. Not just points and rebound, like the standard categories, but some a little more obscure ones too. And you can win up to 25 times your money on any entry. You're not competing against other people. It's just you versus the projections available. You can also do cross sports. So you could do NFL playoffs and NBA if you wanted to. You know, mix in any other sport that you like. It's all there. You can make your entry in less than 60 seconds. Simply download the PrizePicks app or go to prizepicks.com to sign up and play daily fantasy sports. First time users can get a 100% instant deposit match up to $100 with promo code LOCKEDON. If you deposit $100, PrizePicks will give you $100. If you deposit $50, they'll give you $50. Don't forget to enter the promo code LOCKEDON at sign up for an instant deposit match up to $100. All right, let's talk Timberwolves bench, because on Saturday especially, the bench was phenomenal. And I don't know that I could say enough words to praise what the Wolves did on Saturday. The Timberwolves' only starter on Saturday against the Cavaliers that finished in double figures was Anthony Edwards. Nobody else had more than 9 points. Gobert, of course, only played 13 minutes with the groin injury. Jaden McDaniels has had foul trouble, played the last basically 9 minutes of the game with 5 fouls, and it was fantastic. We'll talk more about him too. But he only played 28 minutes. Kyle Anderson only played 28 minutes. And D'Lo only played 21 minutes, and that was mostly not because he played poorly, but because Jalen Noel played so well, and the Wolves, Austin Rivers was good defensively. So it was up to Ant and the Wolves bench, and the Wolves bench more than answered the bell. Nasrid ended up playing 28 minutes Saturday, had 17 and 7. He had at least 3 poster dunks, like just phenomenal dunks. Posterized Donovan Mitchell at one point, was only 1 of 7 on 3-point attempts, Nas was, but for the night, I mean, he was 7 of 9 on twos, and most of them were dunks. 7 boards, a couple of them offensive, had a block as well. I thought he was okay defensively, but the bigger thing for me was, and I talked about this with Marnie a little bit on the live postcast on Saturday night, is that Nas is a big for the Wolves that's just going to dunk on people. Like, they haven't had very many of those guys. Like, Cat does it a little bit. It's a little bit different with Cat, but he'll try and sling on people. But you go all the way back, go to like Darko Milicic. Like, Darko's not dunking on anybody. Kevin Love was a different type of big. He wasn't dunking on anybody, obviously. Nikola Pekovic, kind of the same thing. Like, he could dunk, obviously. Like, he had a powerful, like, you know, power dribble dunk if nobody's on him, but he laid it up far too often. The Wolves had plenty of bigs that have kind of fallen into that trap of not actually slinging on anybody, not wanting to posterize anybody, or not showing that they have the desire to do that. And Nas wants to dunk on everybody. He said as much after the game. He said something to the effect of like, hey, I want to put the ball through the rim, and if I got to go through somebody, I'll do it. And we saw that in this game. I mean, Nas is super athletic, really long, really fluid offensively, and was just phenomenal in this game. And then behind him, Luka Garza came in and played 10 phenomenal minutes, scored 9 points on 5 shots in 10 minutes, knocked down a 3, 2 rebounds and assists. The only shot he missed was a really deep 3 that he took, and just was like, active defensively, right? We've talked about this, you know, a couple weeks ago here on the show when he first started getting some rotation minutes, is that Garza's so mobile, well, compared to where he was, right? Like, he lost some weight after college because he knew he had to be able to guard multiple positions and be switchable at the NBA level to get a job in the NBA. And he's done that. Like, he can be a functional defender because he plays so hard, understands where he needs to be, gets to this right spot on the floor with urgency. He's playable defensively, and he can switch. Like, it's not really what you want. You don't want to have to be switching with Luka Garza, but he's serviceable now. And I think a couple years ago, I don't know that you would have said that about him coming out of Iowa, or even last year, his rookie year with Detroit and playing in the G League. Like, was he mobile enough to guard pick and roll at the NBA level? I think he is now. And offensively, he's always been so skilled. And he's skilled enough that even though he's lost some of that weight, and big enough that he can get his shot off in the post, he scored on Evan Mobley in the post. He scored on Evan Mobley contesting his 3-point attempt from the left wing and knocked down a triple. Just a well-rounded player is Luka Garza. And I don't know like, this is a conversation for another day. Maybe we'll address it later in the week. Like, I don't know what this thing looks like here as we get closer to the trade deadline. We're like 3 weeks away now. Like, what do you do? I mean, Luka Garza deserves some minutes. Eventually, Carl Anthony Towns is going to come back. Rudy hopefully isn't going to be out very long with the groin. And you have Naz Reid, and Naz is a free agent this summer. Luka Garza is on the two-way contract. Obviously, Rudy and Kat are on max contracts. So do you trade Naz Reid? And like, I was an advocate for trading Naz in the offseason because I didn't see his path to regular minutes. And we've seen that at times early this year. But of course, with the Towns injury, he's been extremely valuable. At this point, I don't know how you do trade Naz Reid unless you're confident that both Rudy and Towns are in a good spot physically in the next couple of weeks. Like, I don't know how you do that. So I think it's unlikely they make a move in the front court. I think they just kind of play it out and see what happens. But then Naz is going to go get a nice payday in the offseason. But both Naz and Garza were fantastic in this game. I thought the rest of the bench was really good too. Torian Prince, you know, was awesome on Friday. He was very good on Saturday. Did what he needed to do. Austin Rivers, 7 points, 3 assists, good defense. Jalen Noel, after having a really rough stretch, he still missed like his last 9 3-point attempts over the last several games. But he had 16 points on 9 shots in this game. 4 of 5 at the line, was aggressive. 4 rebounds, 2 assists, a couple of steals, and didn't turn the ball over at all. And initiated some offense, right? I mean, like, D'Lo only played 21 minutes. So it was a combination of Austin Rivers, Jalen Noel, and Anthony Edwards, and Kyle Anderson, I guess, initiated offense. We saw Noel bring the ball up the floor pretty frequently in this game, and I thought he did a good job. So a really strong Wolves bench performance on Saturday. And honestly, I thought they played well Friday too. Marnie and I talked about this on the postcast. Like, the bench shot over 50%, well over 50% combined on Friday night. Noel was efficient in short minutes. Naz Reid had 13, 6, and 3 with a couple of steals on Friday. Really only in relief of Rudy. He played a couple minutes with him, but mostly in his relief. Torian Prince had 16 on Friday, 11 of them in the first half. Austin Rivers had 9 points on 6 shots on Friday night. So two phenomenal performances by the Wolves bench in each of those games. And that's huge when you have starters that are struggling, like, you know, Rudy not getting a ton of shot attempts and now being banged up. D'Lo having a roller coaster season. Jaden McDaniels not consistent offensively. Kyle Anderson not consistent as a scorer. It's pretty much Ant and whatever your bench can give you. And they gave plenty on Friday and Saturday. Last thing before we get to Wolves Jazz, Jaden McDaniels, fantastic Friday and Saturday. Yes, he was in foul trouble Saturday. Well, first Friday, he stayed out of foul trouble, which is huge. He was a huge part of keeping the Suns' playmakers from doing damage on Friday night, from driving and kicking, from playing the way that Phoenix wants to play. Obviously, no Chris Paul and Devin Booker meant that McDaniels could almost serve as like a bit of a floater and was very switchable on Friday night's game. But Jaden was fantastic and offensively finished with 9 points. On Friday night, or excuse me, that was Saturday, he had 9 points. On Friday night, he had 14 points on 10 shots, 6 assists, 5 rebounds, knocked down both his 3-point attempts, was a game best plus 13 in the plus minus column. Just almost a perfect Jaden McDaniels game. And how often do you see him having 6 assists in a game? He was making the right play, pulled the trigger on jumpers when he was open, drove to the basket a little bit, was moving the ball, quick passes, quick decisions, which is so important for him. And again, very disruptive on the defensive end of the floor. On Saturday against Cleveland, he was a huge part of shutting down Donovan Mitchell and Darius Garland early in this game. He guarded each of them individually at times, but the Wolves also mixed up their defensive coverages. And Chris Finch talked about this after the game Saturday, that they've been more willing to do different things as the year's gone on, right? They usually play drop coverage with Rudy Gobert. That's not always effective, and that's a very dangerous game to play against a team that has Donovan Mitchell and Darius Garland, right? You have to try and challenge them, get the ball out of their hands, and dare them to beat you off the dribble. And then hopefully you've got Rudy Gobert waiting to kind of help, you know, clean that up on the back end. And also Kyle Anderson, playing the low man so often on Saturday, was very, very good in that role too. The Wolves were more aggressive, which meant that they were relying on the low man. That's something we saw. They blitzed a little bit more, that kind of trapped the ball handler, tried to get the ball to Garland's hands, contest Mitchell's shot attempts. They combined to shoot only 3 of 12 on 3-point attempts in this game. Mitchell was only 5 of 16 overall, 14 points on 16 shots for Donovan Mitchell. They combined for 6 turnovers and only 10 assists. So a fantastic job on Cleveland's primary ball handlers and their most dangerous scorers. And because the Wolves were more aggressive on the front end on defense, they relied so heavily on Kyle Anderson on the back end to step up, tag rollers, get in the way of guys trying to score at the rim. And he did that. Like, the rotations were crisp. Guys were moving their feet. They were getting to where they needed to be, wherever that was on the defensive end of the floor. and scrambling, Xing out, contesting jumpers, the whole thing. We saw that consistently, especially in the last, 15, 20 minutes of game time, last quarter and a half or so, when the Wolves went on a 55-33 run against the Cavs. That defense seems to happen all the time for the Wolves, or at least that effort level, right? Like, it's a little bit of a pick. It's always a pick your poison in the NBA, right? You're going to give up a semi-open jumper, or you're going to give up, you know, a shot at the rim or whatever. But as long as you're contesting as many of those shots as possible, making the offense work, because sometimes the name of the game is if you can make the offense work hard enough, eventually they're going to take bad shots, right? If you move the ball enough times, you make the right passes and the right cuts, et cetera, in the NBA, you could get a decent shot for an NBA player. You can get a decently open jumper. You can get an attempt at the rim. But as a defense, you have to frustrate the offense, make them feel worn down, make them take a shot that's not the best shot they could get on the possession, make them shoot early in the shot clock, or make them scramble at the end of the shot clock. Just make things more complicated. You're going to give up points in the NBA, especially to Cleveland, which is a top 10 offense. But the Wolves forced Cleveland to score only 102 points and shoot 29%, sub 29% from beyond the arc. Second chance points were relatively limited. I thought this was a really well-rounded defensive performance for Minnesota, making Cleveland a little bit uncomfortable offensively, which is so, so important. It gave the Wolves a chance to win with their offense, and they did that in the fourth quarter, kind of surging ahead when they had been behind going into the fourth quarter of this game. So the biggest takeaways from the weekend, in short, are the bench was fantastic, Jaden McDaniels was awesome, and the Timberwolves defense, for that chunk of the game on Saturday especially, was so impressive. Even without, that was without Rudy Gobert on the floor. So what does this thing look like on Monday against Utah? Can the Wolves kind of replicate that performance against the Jazz? We'll talk about that here next. We'll talk about the matchup, and that's how we'll close the show here today. Today's episode of Locked On Wolves is brought to us by our friends at Built Bar. Looking for a delicious treat but don't want all the fat and calories? Then you have to try a Built Bar. We just got through the holidays, and I know my goal is to eat a little healthier this year. If you're like me, where you just want to eat healthier but don't want to compromise taste, then I've got just the thing for you. You gotta try Built. With Built, healthy is actually tasty. Seriously, they're so delicious you won't think that they're even good for you, but they are. They're perfect for your New Year's resolution. What makes Built Bars so good? Well, for starters, they're covered in 100% real chocolate. That's right, real chocolate, and they come in unbelievably delicious flavors like churro, peanut butter brownie, and coconut almond. I'm not sure how Built does it, but the bars taste like a candy bar while maintaining amazing macros. And what's even better is that they are actually healthy. Only 130 calories and 4 grams of sugar with a whopping 17 grams of protein. And now, you don't need to wait to get a box either. For years on this show, on Locked On Wolves, we've been talking about ordering your Built bars at Built.com. You can still do that, but now you can also go get them at your local Walmart or Sam's Club. That's right. Head to your nearest Walmart today. You can walk to the pharmacy section and find a box of Built bars. Pick up a 4-bar box of cookies and cream, double chocolate, or coconut puffs. I would go cookies and cream. Well, actually, coconut puffs are phenomenal too. You can't go wrong. Get any of those 4-bar boxes in the pharmacy at Walmart. If you're close to a Sam's Club, run in and grab a 13-bar box filled with the hit flavors, brownie batter and churro. Brownie batter is phenomenal. You can thank me later for that tip. But again, Built.com or Sam's Club or Walmart, go check it out and make sure to thank me later. All right, let's talk Wolves-Jazz. So Utah's dealing with a bit of, well, I guess the Wolves have injury issues too. They had 3 guys questionable Friday and Saturday, Anderson with the illness, Prince with the ankle, and Edwards with the hip. All 3 of them played in both games. So not sure what that injury report, I'm recording this on Sunday late afternoon, so I don't know what this looks like for Monday yet for the Wolves. But for Utah, they've had some guys miss games here recently. Kelly Olynyk is out with an ankle sprain. He won't play Monday. Colin Sexton had missed, a couple weeks with an issue, and he played on, he sat Saturday. He played last week, I think maybe Wednesday or Thursday, but then sat their game Saturday. So there's a good chance he plays Sunday. He's officially questionable. Markkanen and Rudy Gay are both questionable rotation. Obviously, Markkanen's a huge deal, a huge part of what they do. Rudy's more of just a rotation guy at this point. Rudy Gay, that is. So Noah Linick probably will have Sexton, not sure on Markkanen and Gay as of now, but the Jazz are, outside of Karl-Anthony Towns, a little bit similarly banged up as the Wolves are. The first 2 games between these teams this year, pretty different outcomes in each of those games. Both pretty close games, right? The first game was that overtime loss, and that was way back in October. It was like the second or third, I think it was the third game of the season for the Wolves. They lost in overtime to Utah, and that was when, or second game of the season for the Wolves. And this was a game that, like, Utah wasn't expected to be good. The Wolves got up 15 after the first quarter, but then the Jazz pushed all the way back, sent this thing to overtime and won. And then there was the, was it Vando dunking at the buzzer and the whole thing in Minnesota. That wasn't great. And then the flip side of things was in December, kind of early December, I think was the date, December 9th. Yeah. In Utah, the Wolves, similar story, although the Jazz were, you know, full court pressing, trapping all the way to the end of the game. So Gobert gets free and lays it in at the end. And Malik Beasley did not like that. This was Gobert's return to Utah, to Salt Lake City. And Beasley gets in Gobert's face. They have to clear the court afterwards, and he doesn't get to do the hugs and the whole thing returning to Salt Lake City. So a little bit of something there in terms of a testy rivalry going back and forth. Two teams that the Jazz have outperformed expectations, although they've struggled more of late and are a couple of games below 500. The Wolves have obviously underperformed expectations and are at 500. So in similar places in the Western Conference, this game's also big from a tiebreak perspective, right? The season series is tied at one apiece. Whoever wins this one will guarantee that they can't lose the tiebreaker moving forward, with one game remaining to be played in early February between these two teams. But there's also that little, like, fair or unfair or deserve, well, I don't know. That's not the right way to say that. Whether or not this is like a real thing to be upset about, if the Wolves were upset at all about the Vando dunk at the end of the first game, or the Jazz were, obviously Beasley at least was upset about Gobert scoring at the end of that game, which to me, like, if you're trapping, you're inviting that to yourself. You're trapping with 5 seconds left, down eight, like, that's on you if somebody scores a lay-in. Anyway, that could add some spice to this, and I think it would be fun if it did, you know, within reason, of course. But at this point, we don't know if Rudy Gobert is even going to play, leaving with groin soreness on Saturday. Or a quick refresher on Utah. They've been a really good offensive team so far this season. And a lot of that's because they shoot a lot of threes. They're a good offensive rebounding team. We all know Jared Vanderbilt can do that. He's much better on the offensive glass than he is on the defensive glass. So you're going to get a lot of Vando on the glass. Walker Kessler's been phenomenal. One of the better rookies in the league this year. And, you know, I thought he was going to be good. I actually didn't hate the draft pick by the Wolves. But, of course, included in that trade, along with Vando and Beasley and Beverly and Bolmaro and the future picks, all the future picks, Kessler's been really, really good. The block rate is insane, over 8%, almost 8.5%. The total rebound rate, the offensive rebound rate is 14.7%, which is absolutely insane. So look out for Kessler and Vanderbilt on the offensive glass. Of course, the Wolves struggle with defensive rebounding. The Jazz, by the way, aren't a good defensive rebounding team either, but they're really good on the offensive glass, which matches up with the Wolves' weakness of defensive rebounding. So look out for second chance points. Look out for a bevy of 3-point attempts. If Markkanen doesn't play, you know, you're a little less worried about that. It at least kind of dampens a little bit what they can do, but they're going to launch a bunch of threes, right? Jordan Clarkson, Malik Beasley, those guys each shoot 7.5 to 8.5 threes per game. And they're both right around league average, 35-36%. So they're not like, and also as a team, by the way, they're middle of the pack, 14th in percentage from 3-point range, but they're fourth in 3-point rate. They shoot a bunch of threes. They play at a relatively fast pace, and they're, you know, they don't get to the line a ton, but they're a good free throw shooting team when they get there. So you worry a little bit about them going off from 3-point range. You worry a lot about the offensive rebounds, two areas the Wolves have struggled at times to deal with so far this season. Defensively, they're not good. They're kind of like bottom five in most metrics, and the Wolves should be able to kind of have their way offensively if they play at all like they did for stretches, the positive stretches, right, in Friday and Saturday's wins over Phoenix and Cleveland respectively. So this is a game the Wolves should win. They should be better than the Jazz, especially if Markkanen doesn't play, even if Gobert doesn't play. This is a matchup that should be positive for the Wolves. If Markkanen doesn't play as their leading scorer, you worry about Jordan Clarkson. He's kind of their next in line. Colin Sexton, again, I think will play, and he's been good when he's been healthy this year. So Sexton, Clarkson, kind of a high volume, moderate efficiency guards are the ones you got to worry about. But they're a good offensive team, and the Wolves have to be crisp. If the Wolves played defensively like they did for the final 20 or so minutes of Saturday's win over the Cavaliers, they'll win this game. The Jazz have actually been a better team, have been a better offense than Cleveland so far this season in terms of offensive rating. Now, I would say Donovan Mitchell is obviously the best offensive player in either one of those teams. And so locking him down was what the Wolves needed to do first to hold Cleveland kind of at arm's length for much of the game on Saturday. Utah is trickier because it's a little bit of everybody. Without Markkanen, it becomes that much easier, but it's still in my mind, a challenging matchup for Minnesota. Still a game the Wolves should win and still an important game when you start looking at tiebreakers, potential tiebreakers in the Western Conference. So that's Monday afternoon's game. We will have the live postcast with Marnie. So that'll be like 6:15 on early Monday evening early evening on Monday. So we'll do the live postcast. We'll do the post-game pod that'll post early Tuesday. So regular schedule in terms of podcasts this week, early posting Monday through Friday. And then we'll also do the live postcast with Marnie on Monday afternoon. So be sure to tune in for that on the Locked On Sports Minnesota YouTube channel. We go live after every game, and then you'll find the audio over here on the Locked On Wolves audio feed. A big thank you to those of you who make Locked On Wolves your first listen each and every day. Of course, the show is free and available everywhere, including YouTube, as well as all of your favorite audio platforms. You can also watch on the Locked On Sports Minnesota app on both Roku and Amazon Fire TV. You can follow on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves and at BBeacon with two B's, two E's, C-K-E-N. Of course, the Locked On Wolves podcast is part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Remember, the Locked On Network is your local experts on all the biggest stories. Now go ahead and make your second listen, the Game to Game NBA podcast. Every moment, every top performance, every result. Locked On Game to Game covers every game from across the NBA with local analysis that only Locked On can deliver. Follow Game to Game on Locked On NBA, available on the Odyssey app, YouTube, and wherever you get your podcasts. Once again, I'm Ben Beacon. This is the Locked On Wolves podcast, and we'll catch you next time.